Welcome to the number one source for information, news, and opinion on your Columbus Blue Jackets. This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on the CBJ Radio SoundCloud page, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play Music, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Now here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
We lose our way, we get back up again. It's never too late.
Well, time just keeps on flying by, and the Blue Jackets are going to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning today at 3 o'clock. It'll be game four of their best-of-seven Stanley Cup playoff quarterfinal series, and the Tampa Bay Lightning now holds a 2-1 advantage over the Blue Jackets after their 3-2 victory on Saturday night. Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Lots to do today. It's a Monday mailbag edition of the show. I've got your questions, but it's also a game day. So you're going to hear from Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. So with all that coming, let me start by telling you about Telhio Credit Union, a place where they have been putting people over profits, putting the people first since all the way back in 1934. That's right. It's just what they do. They don't even think about it. They just do it. That is their nature. So the question you need to ask yourself is, why use just a regular bank when you have a credit union that is used to putting you first? Want to find out more about Telhio Credit Union? Go to their website at telhio.org, surf around, click on the tabs. All the information that you want is there. If you can't find anything, there's a live chat option that is available during business hours. So make sure you check them out. Telhio.org. All right, the Blue Jackets looking to even this series with the Tampa Bay Lightning. As I said, they were a bit listless, if you will, on Saturday. It really seemed that that five overtime game that started this series started to catch up with the Blue Jackets. So that leads to a lot of questions. Number one, how are they going to get their rest? How are they going to overcome the fatigue that they're going through? And again, I always talk about fatigue. I always do. And I talk about how this team is almost immune to fatigue. But right now they're dealing with it. And you understand why. They had a 5-game series with the Toronto Maple Leafs. 2 of those games went into overtime. They get through that. They get a day and a half before they have to start their next series. It's against Tampa. And the first game goes 5 overtimes. So then by the time you come back, it's another less than a day and a half before you have to play again. So did it start to catch up with them? It looked like it may have. But if it did, how do the Blue Jackets just stop it right there? How do they find their energy once again? How do they make the right decisions? How do they get this series back to even at 2 games apiece? That is one question. Another question is, there are a lot of healthy bodies and fresh legs, as the term goes, in Toronto. The Blue Jackets took a lot of players with them. A lot of players that have experience playing on this team this year. Would head coach John Tortorella be willing to put one of those or more, dare I say more, but would he be looking to put somebody new in the lineup just to shake it up a little bit? Do you take somebody out? Is anybody struggling enough that they should come out? Is anybody so tired that they should come out? And maybe you put a new set of legs in the game? These are great questions. And they are questions that I was able to ask the Blue Jackets head coach when I talked to him yesterday. So let's use this as today's Game 4 game preview. It's being brought to you by Stanley Steamer. Get back to clean. Once again, here is the head coach of your Columbus Blue Jackets, John Tortorella. You know, Torts, it's funny. We talk so many times about the conditioning of your team. We've talked about it already in these playoffs, how you have them conditioned right from training camp and, tired is a mental state and all that stuff. But yet, you were very honest after game 3 where you said that it does seem as though the high bulk of hockey your team's been playing lately in a short span of time is starting to catch up with them here. As a coach, I know you've been taking the practice days off and only playing the games, but beyond that, what can you do to try to get them rested because the schedule just doesn't allow it?
Nothing. We canceled practice again today. Had a meeting at 4 o'clock. We're just trying to refresh them. Our medical people are trying to refresh them as best they can. We played a very emotional series, 5-game series, ups and downs, and then we play the first game of the first round, 3 o'clock, 2 days later, and then all the overtimes. It is what it is, and we're trying to meet their needs as best we can to get them to be playing each and every game.
This is so much different during the regular season because most teams at some point get 5 games in 8 days or something crazy like that. Everybody has to deal with it. But as you just said, you've played more hockey than anybody else in this tournament so far. So this is a different kind of uncontrollable type situation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's the bubble. And everybody's going through it. We have put a lot of minutes in, and this is by no means a crutch to our team. But as I was just telling some other guys that, we're honest about how we go about it here, and we push hard. We expect a lot out of them. If I thought they were a lazy hockey club and they just didn't push last night, it's a different message. But our team is playing hard. But you could see that we just weren't, as the game went on, we got stuck mentally. And that's the order it goes. It's the mental fatigue, and then it gets the physical fatigue. We don't want to overdo this. We need to get ready to play our next game, a very pivotal game coming up here. And this is what we thought was the best thing to do. So I can stand out there, Bobby, and pound my chest and say, yeah, they kicked the shit out of us or whatever it may be, or this or that. I'm going to be honest about it. And I think I need to be with our club. We're with them, and we're going to handle this in the honest way.
And the funny thing about it is you took so many players there, and you and I have talked before. You are the only guy, I think, that has an entire roster inside the bubble that played for you during the year, and not just one game here and there, but they played for stretches. So you're well aware of everybody that you have there and how you could use them. But yet, some of the guys that have played the most minutes and some of the guys that are probably the tiredest are your top players, and they're just guys that you don't and you can't take out of your lineup. So how can you – yeah, how can you use some of those other guys, or do you use them?
Yeah, we and that's why we have the people with us for I think you might see some tomorrow, a little bit different look tomorrow. We're going to discuss it tonight for our needs in certain areas of our game. That's why we have them here. And we are very fortunate to have some guys that we have played with us all year, during the year, during the regular season, before the pause. So, but the top guys aren't coming out to, We're as each game goes on, you play Toronto in the qualifier. Now we're playing a better team. Let's face it. This is a better team. And it's a team that we played last year. We know one another very well. We ended up winning that series. They have made adjustments to their game to play against us. There's no secrets from either team. We have to get our game to another level. And the only way you can get to another level is be as rested as you can when you play that game. So that's how we're trying to go about it.
Knowing you're not going to get into any detail about it, when you're talking about maybe changing some personnel to address certain needs,
I'm not.
Briefly, but is one of those needs maybe a power play?
Oh, sure. Our power play has still been, I'll put it to you, we're talking about that. We haven't made any decisions, but sure. Having said that, our 5-on-3, we had some really good looks. I thought that's the best minutes that their goalie has played was during that time. But certainly we have to try. We keep on trying to get that consistent. Our penalty killing has stood in there to keep this as maybe a wash with our special teams. But you're always looking at that power play, and can someone come in with fresher legs or maybe has a really good shot, whatever it may be, to look at that. So that's one of the areas we certainly will look at this evening when we talk about our lineup.
Even when he played so well during that 5-on-3, you had an absolute great chance, and Emil Bemström happened to hit the post with his shot. Torts, I get caught with Emil Bemström because there are times I get so frustrated, and look, I'm not even coaching, but I watch that, and I'm like saying to myself, man, I probably said it out loud, this is the shot this guy was brought here to take. This is all we heard during the offseason and when he came to camp, is this was his biggest strength. And as he is in and out of the lineup, you got to deliver when you get a chance to play to your strength. Then I take a minute and I take a breath and I think, this kid has been brought over here at such a young age and thrown into this league, and he probably is a season or two away. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if 2 years from now he's hitting every one of those shots, and I'm saying, man, I can't believe that I was ever knocking him when he first came over. But that's all a part of the development process for these kids, isn't it?
A defining process, yes. And, yeah, you know, I think it's been a problem of Bemmer all year long is missing the net. And last night he does it again. And but, you know, the kid's been in and out of the lineup. It's a lot to handle. He's from overseas. We expect so much out of these guys. And they're just coming over to a new country, to a new team. There's a lot of things that go into this. This is part of growing up in the National Hockey League. It's a league where, you know, now it's guys are plugged right in into the National Hockey, where usually they're down in the American League, learning it a little bit there. It's such a young league. These guys are coming in, and this is part of the process for them. So, we would have liked to see him score the goal. I'm sure he didn't get much sleep last night when he knows that there's an open net and he doesn't get it done. But we're going to continue to work with him, and eventually this will all work its way through. This is great experience for him, and it's not always going to be successful, but we're going to keep on teaching and go about our business with him.
As you were talking about, you know, maybe trying to spell some guys, but you did say the top player is going to continue to play. If this was a situation, if you had both of your goalies that were healthy right now, would there be a chance to spell a guy that's just made like 150 plus saves in three games?
Yeah, I think that probably would have happened yesterday, and have an Elvis go. We don't have that luxury right now. And look what Corpy does. He basically stands on his head. So that's the guy we're looking out for, making sure he gets rest. We let him do what he wants to do in practice when we do practice, how much time he wants on the ice. Manny's looking after that. And I don't want to overstate it too much. You know, it's a lot of hockey. Other teams are playing a lot of hockey too. We just ended up getting wrapped up in a very emotional series starting, and then all the overtimes early on and overtimes in that first series. But we can't overthink this either. I think today was the right thing to get him some rest. We got a very important game tomorrow night, and we're going to have to bring it to another level. Even if we play our best game tomorrow, it needs to be at a whole different level than, and I think that's very important as our team looks at it. We need to assess ourselves. These are very, very good teams we're playing. I'm not saying Toronto wasn't. These are better teams, and we have to act accordingly. We have to be a better team right on through.
Well, to be better, sometimes you need some more contributions out of different guys. Eric Robinson scores a goal for you. He had a chance in the previous game. He got robbed on a great save. As he gets a couple of more minutes, how do you like his game as it's gone along here?
Yeah. He's a guy that we may move around tomorrow. The puck follows him. You know, you've watched him just as much as me. That puck follows him around, just like last night. It's a great pass by Winnie when he comes off the bench. Shot hits someone, bounces around, comes right back to his stick. That's the way it happens for him. And his speed helps. We're going to continue to work with him as far as his hands and puck movement and understanding decision-making. But he's going to have to be a very important guy tomorrow night because he's got legs. He hasn't played as much as some of the other guys. He'll probably get a little bit more ice time tomorrow, and we need his legs.
We talked about Riley Nash a couple of days ago and maybe playing his best hockey since he's been playing for you, and he got one of those two goals, and it was a pretty nice goal too. It reminds you of the things that Riley Nash can do when given the opportunity, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's always been a very smart player, well-liked in the room. He knows he's a great pro. The whole thing with Nasher is tempo, is just speed and pace of the game. I think that's improved because I think he's just thinking clear. I don't think it's his legs that have improved. I just think he's thinking it clearer. And he's been a pretty consistent player, probably our best player last night, and has done some really good things checking. I've put him on the wing now. I think I have a line there in Winnie, him, and Gus that I can use in different situations. Hopefully it'll continue.
Gus has been kind of quiet here, but quietly accumulating some points. How much would you like to see him find the back of the net at some point here?
Yeah, you know, you look at Gus, you look at Nick, you look at Jens, but we've got to get some results. We've got to get results out of more people here. It can't fall on Luke and Tex. And, you know, Borky had a couple of good games. I thought it was a real struggle for him last night. We got to get some more consistency through our lineup against a very good team we're playing. So, yeah, those three come to mind. Those are three very important people to us.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I was just going to ask you. Did you feel – you got a better feel on this than me, but as I was watching the game, I felt that there got to a point where Tampa kind of turned up the forechecking on you to really pressure your defensemen and try to make them make mistakes inside of their own zone. Am I reading that right or not?
Well, we just turned too many pucks over in the neutral zone. We allowed them to play a 140-foot game. And, I can talk about our team, and I do. I think our team was I think it hit the wall. But you also can't go by – you got to give Tampa credit. They played a very good hockey game, and they put it to us as far as jamming that neutral zone and just and putting it right back in our end zone and forechecking. We obviously have to spend more time in their end zone if we're going to be successful. We got another game coming up to give it a whack.
Is the key to that to get those short, quick passes out of your own zone again?
No, there's a number of different things that we're going to have to do there. And, we got to be sharper. And everybody thinks when you're tired, it's physical. To me, I thought we were just mentally spent and we didn't even see things. Like Winnie, you know, they score a very important goal, their second goal. Winnie, center loses a faceoff. You have the center when you lose a faceoff. Point goes right through him, scores on a rebound. That just doesn't happen. Winnie's a smart player and knows that's his guy. We lose a back check on Hedman. He skates right through Nick, and he scores the third goal. And those things just don't happen. I just don't think we were sharp mentally, but also give Tampa credit. They played a really good game. I think probably one of the better games they've played in the series. We're going to have to answer game four.
All right, last thing I want to ask you is you're talking about all of that, and you want guys to get a mental break. Being that I'm not there, this is why I ask, how do you get that break in the bubble? Like if we were on a regular road trip and you gave the guys off and they could go shopping or they could just go out and walk around or go down by the lake and hang out for a day, whatever they wanted to do, that seems to be a real mental break. You're in that bubble. And you've told me the other day, some things are great, some things suck. How do you get the mental break that you need when you're confined in there?
Yeah, they've got activities. They've got the golf simulators. They've got ping pong. They do have some restaurants that you can take a shuttle to or walk the tunnel to go out. And that's why we had an early 4 o'clock meeting before the evening so they could try to get together themselves. You got to make, you know, everybody's in it. You know, everybody's doing this here. So you got to make your time and what you think is best for the team that particular night. I trust our guys. I think they'll loosen up tonight and had a very good meeting this afternoon. They find ways. They're very creative as far as trying to relax, and they'll find ways, as you very well know.
All right, Torts, thank you very much. Best of luck.
Okay, Bobby, be well.
So there were some interesting nuggets there. Let me tell you what I got out of that, okay? And I will go back to Saturday night. Kevin Stenlin took warm-ups on Saturday. He didn't play in the game, but he took warm-ups. It's the first time in the playoffs that he has taken warm-ups. Now, when Torts said they could be looking at something to help the power play, Kevin Stenlin was good on the power play this year. So if Kevin Stenlin draws into this game tonight, I'm not telling you that he will. I'm telling you I think it's very possible. I'm reading the tea leaves, as the saying goes. I won't be surprised if he's in tonight's game. Now, is that at the expense of an Emil Bemstrom? Did Liam Foudy struggle? Is he at a point where maybe they would put somebody else in for him? I don't know. Those are the kind of things we're going to find out. But as Torts said, you can talk about changing bodies all you want. It's only a couple that we're really talking about here. Really. Are you going to take Seth Jones out? No. Zach Werenski? No. David Savard? No. Vladislav Gavrikov? No. Ryan Murray? No. What about up front? Are you going to take out Pierre-Luc Dubois? No. Texier? No. Boone Jenner, Nick Foligno. Now, those, you might have an argument, but it's not really an argument. They're veteran guys, and they're guys that could snap into it and all of a sudden deliver in a big way for you in any game. And look, everybody's supposed to be equal, but are they really equal? I mean, that would be a huge embarrassment to a Boone Jenner, who, by the way, is winning faceoffs and doing defensive things. So it wouldn't be fair to say he's not scoring goals, so he's got to come out. Same with Nick. So we're only talking about a couple of guys anyway. Like, we could talk till we're blue in the face about who should come out, but the reality is it's a small list and it's a limited number. And really, if you got down to it, if you got all the way down to it, do you want Andrew Peak to play over Zach Werenski? No. Over Dean Kukin? Maybe. Do you want Kevin Stenlin to play over Nick Foligno? No. Play over Emil Bemström? Maybe. You see what I'm saying here. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, that's the Blue Jackets head coach as he and his team get ready for tonight's game four against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But now it is your turn. It is time for me to go through your questions, which are very, very important to me. And that's why I'm going to do it right now as I open the Monday mailbag. And again, there's several ways to do this. I've got questions on Twitter, at Bobby Mac Sports. I've had a couple of written questions emailed to me. And I actually have also this voice question that was sent to me, and that's where we will begin today.
Hey, Bob. Cameron Maynard here. I got to be honest with you. I'm not feeling too good about the Jackets' chances to win this series now. Now that we're down 2-1, I understand it's only a one-game deficit, but after seeing that Game 3 winners of a best-of-seven series historically in the NHL go on to win the series 67% of the time, I think the Jackets, like I said, they got their work cut out for them now. And, you know, Game 3, we didn't play near the way we were capable of playing. We played good in the first period. The energy was there. But second period, we got totally outplayed. And I think that's what contributed to the Jackets' demise in that game. The power play, I know we have two power play goals this series, but it was non-existent and it was terrible in Game 3, which leads me to the question I want to ask you. I was reading a Facebook post and somebody said, we were talking about the power play, and I mentioned how we had brought in Paul McClain back in November to fix the power play when everybody was complaining about it. And they made the comment that no matter who the Jackets players or coaches are in the whole 20-year history of the franchise, that the power play has always been bad. Now, I've only been a fan for the last 4 years. The history of the team on the power play, you know, it, my knowledge of that only stretches back the last 4 years. It doesn't stretch back the last 20 years, obviously. We know that in the 2016-2017 season, in January of that season, from January of that season up until now, like, the power play has just been perpetually terrible. And, I mean, is that person who made that Facebook post, I mean, are they right? I mean, has the Jackets' power play always been bad? You know, I just like to have an answer for that and see, you know, see what, like, how can the Jackets' power play be consistently good every single year? Because right now, it's not. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thank you for all you do. And I look forward to you answering my question. Thanks.
First of all, you got to calm down. There's a lot of angst in your voice today. So you just need to calm it down a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Because I do the same thing. Jody Shelley and I just had this conversation after the game the other night. You know, after that game and the way they were outplayed, starting in the second period, it's like the sky's falling. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how they're going to come back. And how are you going to win 3 of 4 now? How are you going to do that? That's the feeling, right? That's what you do. That's what we do as fans, because we're still fans. You know, we want them to win and all that stuff. So we're still fans. But after they win, like when they win game two, we're saying they may never lose again. And this happens all during the regular season. Jody and I do this all the time. We're in the back of a bus on the road, lose a terrible game. Oh, this is terrible. We look at the schedule. I don't know when they're going to win again. I mean, look at the schedule. I don't see how they're going to win again. And then they win a game. And then you look at the schedule and you go, they're never going to lose again. It's just human nature. So just calm down. And by the way, so you throw out the numbers. Okay, so if 67% of the teams win the series that win game three, that means 33% of the teams still come back and win the series. Well, 33% is a third, right? It's not terrible. It's not 5%. It's not 10%. It's 33%. It's 1 for 3. It's not bad. I'm not worried about that. Now, to answer your question about the power play, here, you asked the right guy, as it turns out, because Glenn Oldebrowski, who is one of our PR guys and puts together this great book, and I don't use his stuff as much as I should probably, but he put together this great postseason media guide, and it's got all of the information in it. So I'm just going to turn it right to all-time statistics. And with all-time statistics, I can go down to I can go down to the power play, and there it is. It's listed for every year. Every year, it's listed right there. So your question is, because somebody wrote on a Facebook post, and normally if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? But your question is, in a Facebook post, somebody said that it's been bad every year for 20 years. Okay, let's look. I'll tell you this. They are not 100% right. It leans that way. It leans that way, it's not only not terrible all the way back, but it also was pretty good not too long ago. Okay, so let's go through this. In order, here was the overall rank of the power play in the past years of this franchise. 22nd, 25th, 12th, 24th, 28th, 26th, 26th, 30th. Those are not good, right? But then it went from 30th 1 year to 14th the next year. And that would have been in, 2008, 2009. No surprise, first time the team ever made the playoffs. Then they dropped back to 29th, and that's when they were hiring a coach and picking second overall. 24th, 28th. But then you get to 2013, 2014, and it went to 10th. You go to 2014, 2015, and how many? You said 4 years, right, Cameron? So let's say this year's the fourth year, and you go back 1, 2, 3, so you don't remember this. But in 2014, 2015, the power play was ranked 5th. Overall at the end of the season. But then it dipped to 21st. Then it came back up to 12th in 2016-17, followed by 25th, 28th, 27th. So, and let me point this out too, by the way, because you talk about skill on the power play. Even with Artemi Panarin being on the power play, the last 2 years it was 28th and 27th out of 30 and 31 teams, right? So how does that happen? I think penalty kill is a will. I think power play is a will as well. And I think, and I've said this numerous times, you can probably go back in the history of this show and hear me say it 100 times. Too cute on the power play. Quit trying to be perfect. Quit trying to go highlight real goal and just get the dirty goal. Okay? Are they as talented offensively as some of the other teams in this league? No. Does the Tampa Bay Lightning have a better power play than the Columbus Blue Jackets when you look at personnel? Absolutely. Toronto Maple Leafs? Absolutely. Pittsburgh Penguins? No, you don't want to hear it, but absolutely. But still, you got to work hard. You got to work hard, and you got to quit being cute and fancy. So the Facebook post is not 100% correct. Maybe it's 67% correct. Maybe. In any event, I just wanted to break down the numbers for you. That's what you asked for. So, but again, the other thing, just calm down. A win today makes it a best of three. A win today cures a lot of things. So hold out for that. Back to my email, BobbyMack@BlueJackets.com. Warren Patrick says, first time emailer, what do you think is missing on our dump and chase mentality of offense? I get trying to make it work, but way too often they do it all just to hand the puck to the other team on a silver platter, especially on the power play. Again, dump and chase is work. And also, the other team can take that away at times. I thought Tampa, as that game went on last night, or 2 nights ago, sorry, I think Tampa was, they turned it up. They turned it up. And they forced the dumps, and then they had the better legs to go get the puck. So, the Blue Jackets are usually pretty good at that. I mean, they make a living. They're not a rush team. They don't score on the rush very often. They're not an on-man rush team. They're not a just come up the ice, couple of passes, and boom, it's in the back of the net. They've got to work for it. They've got to chip it and chase it. But again, when it's not working, many times, well, in my opinion, when it's not working, there are two things that will tell you why. Lack of effort or the other team just outperforming them. Next one here. Andy Showers checking in from Central Pennsylvania, actually. Says, Bob, I've been a Blue Jackets fan since 2007 and a diehard fan at that. Goes on to talk about listening to the games and all that stuff that I really do appreciate, Andy. I really do. But Andy has two questions. Number one, typically, how long does it take you to plan and put together your CBJ and 30 shows? Well, that depends. Like, you know, like the Monday Mailbag show, it depends on how many questions I have and the way I answer and all that. For the other shows, it's lining up guests. That can take some time. Waiting for the interviews you're supposed to get in this world of Zoom that we're using now. I mean, I was supposed to get Torts maybe at 4:30, and then he got behind or had to do something else through the league, and I didn't get him till 5. So, you know, big deal. But it's another half an hour. You're asking about how much time it takes. You know, that can add time into it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, especially doing with these every day and you're in the series, the planning almost takes care of itself because you're either previewing a game or recapping a game and you have guests on to talk about that. It's the production of it that takes time, right? Because when I get done talking to you, then there is both audio and video production that takes. So a 30-minute show can take, I don't know, can take as long as 60 to 90 minutes, depending. And then getting interviews and stretching it out through the day. But again, I'm not complaining. I'm just answering your question. So I hope that gives you a little bit. I know it doesn't give you a lot, but I don't know how to answer it because I'm just so used to doing it. I don't look at the clock when I sit down. And although sometimes I've sat down to do it and I've gotten everything produced and I went upstairs and I was down there for like 2.5 hours. So it all depends on the day. Just depends on the day. Next question is, have you ever played fantasy hockey? I have, and it's been a long time, and I'll tell you what I don't like about fantasy hockey. It's the same thing I don't like about any fantasy sports. I forget to set my lineup. I forget to check injury reports, and then I've got the wrong guys in games. So in baseball is one thing, because in baseball you just got to make sure you have the right pitcher. Maybe you took your starter out of your rotation because he's not going to pitch for 4 days. But then I'd forget to put him in on the fifth day. I'd forget what day it was, and I'd forget to go look and see what the pitching matchups were. So I was always getting screwed on that. Or a guy would get hurt, and I wasn't paying attention, and then I'd have him playing in games. Same in hockey. Somebody would get hurt. If I didn't know about it, I wouldn't go and change it. The other thing about hockey is you don't play every single night, at least in baseball. If guys are healthy, they're playing every day. In hockey, you know, you're playing Wednesday, Friday and Saturday. And then on a Thursday, I'd forget to, you know, take out a winger that had the night off and he'd still be in my lineup. And some guy that was playing was sitting on the bench and had points. So I have played it, but I haven't played it in a while. And that's why it frustrates me. I mean, I've told you again, go in the archives of this show and you hear me say it. It's not me making this up. I don't want to be a GM. I don't. I like the coaching aspect more than the GM aspect. You know, what Yarmo does is really hard. You know, finding guys, signing guys, all that stuff. Fantasy hockey is completely different, but somewhat the same because you still have to, you have to draft. You might not get the guys you want. You got to do a lot of homework to, once you get to the middle guys, you know what I mean? Everybody knows to pick the top guys. But once you get down below that first tier, you got to start working and thinking and having an order and all that stuff. And I don't find that as stimulating myself. So again, that's my answer. I've done it, but I haven't played it in a long time. So anyway, thank you, Andy. I really appreciate you checking in from Pennsylvania today. All right. What else do I have? I've got tweets. Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports is where you can find me there. SG gets the first question today. And this one says, a couple years ago when the Blue Jackets changed their number font, you mentioned it was difficult to read. Number one, have you gotten used to it? Number two, what is currently your least favorite jersey like the most difficult one to read. Have I gotten used to the font? You're getting me on a good day. Just had this conversation the other day with Dylan Tyre, my pregame host. He said to me, I don't know how you tell Bjorkstrand and Riley Nash apart when they're on the ice. Now, this is looking through television monitors, but it doesn't matter. I looked at him. I said, thank you. Thank you for asking that question, because I have battled with this ever since the numbers changed. The 20 and the 28 look similar. Those two guys are both right-handed. They have a similar skating motion. It is hard to tell. And if they're on the same line, God help you. So I still don't like the font. I don't. And at the risk of, you know, the marketing people being mad at me or whatever, I'm just telling you, I don't like it. I don't like calling a game. And the people that make the jerseys, they don't think about us that have to identify the players. They don't care. Look at some of the specialized jerseys they've done in the NFL and in college football. Like, didn't the Buckeyes have a black jersey with black numbers or some kind of a, maybe it was a gray number. Anyway, you could barely see it on the jersey when you're up close. How are you supposed to call it from way upstairs? So nobody asks us, and we just got to deal with it. So no, I don't like the font. I like the old one better. I will stick to that. I'll tell you that every time, because it is difficult to recognize some of the numbers right away. Now, what is my least favorite jersey, the most difficult one to read? There's nothing that's jumping out at me right away. Maybe there should be, but the Flyers have a jersey. I'm trying to think what the makeup of it is. Something's popping into my mind about the Flyers. Is it like a orange number with just on an orange jersey with just a black outline or something like that? If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I think they have something like that, which I don't like that. I don't like – look, I coached youth baseball for 10 years, travel baseball, and we used to get these uniforms that I would have never ordered, this fancy numbers and like just the outline of the number and nothing solid in it. And there it doesn't matter, right? I mean, nobody's calling our games. But being somebody that is interested in that stuff, I would have never ordered that, never. I would have had your regular old, give me a plain old number from the 70s and 80s that is in a recognizable font and you can read it and make it solid. Make it a solid number. If you want to outline it in white, knock yourself out. If it's on a dark jersey and you want to outline it in white, knock yourself out. I'm all for that. I'm behind you 100%. But don't just give me an outline with no color in the number. Yeah, so as you can see, I have opinions on this stuff, right? I do, but it is a pain. It is such a pain to try to do your job with some of the uniforms that are out there in all different sports. I guarantee you, if I did a show with six different play-by-play guys and asked them about numbers and fonts and jerseys, I bet you they would all agree with me. Actually, they would, because I'd only pick the ones that did agree with me. But anyway, you know what I mean. I wouldn't do that. It's a joke. Lee Jones says, any possible offensive free agents the Blue Jackets might be looking at in the short offseason? Well, Lee, yeah, but first of all, they got to get their own house in order. They've got to sign Pierre-Luc Dubois. What are they going to do with Josh Anderson? What's going to happen there? Nobody knows yet, right? I just talked to Jarmo Kekäläinen about this on Saturday before the game. And I asked him, and I mean this, I asked him, isn't it easier to give the money to the players on your team, your restricted free agents? Everybody gets all hot and bothered in a good way about these free agents and signing them. But yet, how many of them really come in and, you know, light the place on fire? This is a league that draft and development are the cornerstones. So give your money to your players that want to play for your team and then go from there. Now, I know Artemi Panarin went to the New York Rangers and had 100 points, and that worked out great. Or did it? Did it? Blue Jackets have gone farther than they have. Now, in the long run, they're going to get the number one pick when this playoffs is over. They had the number two pick last year. Are they going to be on a fast-track build? Yeah, probably. Probably. But for right now, I'm just saying. I mean, you can look and go do that stuff. The Florida Panthers... Show me a Florida Panthers fan that said, that they were unhappy when Sergei Bobrovsky was signed. Show me that fan. If you can show me, I'll tell you what you have a better chance to show me. A Florida Panthers fan that is mad that they underachieved and their goalie's making $10 million a year. I think you'll find that first and foremost. Okay? Now, all of that being said, with a flat salary cap, there might be a lot more guys out there than normal. And you might be able to find somebody that works and fits into your system and really helps you. And Yarmo will be looking for that. So are there any specific ones? Not that I would ever know because they wouldn't tell me. But I'm sure there are guys that they're looking at. But again, let's just calm down about this. Like, Gus Nyquist has been fine. But, you know, you heard Torts. Wouldn't you like to have more out of Gus in the playoffs? Will you sign him as a free agent? I'm just saying. Like, just calm. Again, the sense of calmness. Everybody wants a quick fix and a free agent, and it's not always like that. It's not always like that. James Ayers III says, the NBA has reported all kinds of fighting and bickering amongst themselves in their bubble in Orlando. Why do you think that you don't hear about this with NHL teams who face the same type of circumstance in a bubble? James, I don't know, and I'm not going to speak for the NBA because I haven't heard those stories, and I'll be honest with you, I went searching for some when I saw your question. I didn't find anything that jumped out at me. Does it surprise me? No. Would it surprise me if there wasn't bickering in any bubble in any sport? No, because it's going to start wearing on you. The mental test is just beginning for these players. They're now 2 weeks in the bubble, and they're playing a lot, and they're getting tired, and they've got a lot of time left if they want to win the whole thing to be in a bubble. And we were having a discussion about this after the game on Saturday. So you think about this. So it's like 2 weeks in the bubble. If you win this round, you're looking at another 2 weeks in the bubble. If you win that round, then you go to the conference championship. Conference championships and the Stanley Cup final are going to be played in Edmonton. Also, once you get to the conference championships, limited family is allowed to come into the bubble. Okay? So that changes the dynamics. However, think about this. For the teams that are already in the West, they can bring the family in, but they're going to be in the same hotel. They're going to be in the same city. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Everything's going to be the same. For the guys in the East who have been trapped in one place for the last 4 weeks are going to get out of that bubble and get to go into a different bubble. Now, what kind of an effect is that going to have? I would think, speaking of human nature, it would be an advantage for the Eastern teams because they're getting something different. The other guys are getting the same old, even if they're allowed to bring family in. But these guys are getting something different. Will that be more of a spark? I don't know. But it's getting tough. And it's going to get tougher mentally. It's going to get tougher. Go back before they even went into the bubble. Jody Shelley and I had John Tortorella on the Inside Edge. We talked about the mental tests. Not test singular. Tests plural. About being in a bubble. Go back and listen to what he has to say about that. He knows. That's going to be one of the biggest things. Is fighting through. You know, we did see a player leave. Tuukka Rask left the bubble. He said he had family concerns back at home and he had to go. The team that was the best in the regular season just lost their number one goalie. You think they're happy about it? I mean, they understand. They say they understand. I'm sure they do. That doesn't mean they're happy. You know, it means you got to play with your backup goalie. Now, fortunately for them, they've got a 1A, 1B situation with Yaroslav Halak. But it ain't Tuukka Rask, and we saw him last year in the playoffs and what he did. Finally, one more. And this is from Dylan. What is the biggest challenge calling the game virtually? I think there are two things, Dylan. The first one is creating excitement. Because you have to manufacture it more than if there was a crowd there, you wouldn't have to. There is simulated crowd noise, but it doesn't react the same way as if you got 19,000 people there. So you've got to manufacture excitement to an extent. So that's a big challenge. The other challenge is just figuring out what you're seeing and, you know, the different camera angles, you know, long passes up the ice. Here, let me give you an example of what happened on Saturday. Tampa's trying to come out of their own zone. Nick Foligno is forechecking. He creates a turnover. He's inside their blue line. He creates a turnover. He stole it from a defenseman. There were two guys coming up the ice. They were both defensemen. He stole the puck. And in my mind, I said he's got a one-on-one with the goalie. And all of a sudden, Tyler Johnson came into the picture because Tyler Johnson was still back there. But I didn't know. If I would have been in the press box, I could have seen it because I would see the full ice. And I have a full ice monitor, but it's not worth much. It's not the same view, and it's not worth much. So those are the biggest challenges. But again, I'm getting used to it enough to bring you what you are used to hearing. I'm not getting used to it enough to want to do it the rest of my life. On the record, I'm not doing it well enough to get used to doing it the rest of my life because I don't want to. Neither does anybody else in my line of work. We don't want to. We want to be there. We want to be part of it. We want to be with our team. We want to have that energy of a crowd around. That's what we all want. And you want to be back. You want to be in the building. You want to be there providing the energy and watching all of those things. So thank you for your questions. I always do appreciate it. Blue Jackets and the Lightning today, 3:00. The puck drops. I've got it for you on the Blue Jackets Radio Network. Our pregame coverage starts at 2:00 this afternoon. So make sure you tune in for that. We are the home team. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. That means you can hear the game on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, all across the Blue Jackets Radio Network in Ohio, and a couple of stations we do have in West Virginia, too. Also, you can find us on the Blue Jackets app or on the TuneIn app. You can find us online at bluejackets.com. And why did I say about being the home team? Well, I'll tell you, because it will be the home team broadcast on SiriusXM NHL Radio Channel 91 this afternoon, okay? So it'll be moi talking to you on satellite, terrestrial radio, online, however you choose to get it. Join me, won't you please? Puck drops at 2:00 pregame coverage. Or I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Puck drops at 3:00 pregame coverage at 2:00 this afternoon. That's a sign it's time for me to get out of here, get ready for today's game. Game 4 between the Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Lightning leads the series 2-1. The Blue Jackets needing to get it back to a tie today. We'll soon find out if they can do that. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.